You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here to do part two of the Week 14 preview. I am here by myself again, as we work around the holidays and the end of the season and whatnot. You might get a couple more solo podcasts, but we're still bringing the heat. We're still bringing the information. If you did not hear part one of the Week 14 preview, please go back and listen to that. Shrek recorded that earlier in the day today. It is currently Friday night where I am currently sitting in rainy San Francisco, California. I'm not sure as I record this if Shrek has posted part one to the feed yet, but if not, it will be there shortly. And then I should be up shortly after with this here part two. So we got some things to get into. It is very rainy by me. I apologize. I have a door closed, but the roof of my kitchen is leaking. So if you hear the sound of water hitting a bucket, that's what that is. I don't think you should hear that, but just in case you do, hopefully it doesn't ruin the experience for you, because I got some fucking good information right now. All right, guys, so I believe Shrek went through 8 games earlier and pretty much got through almost all of the 1 o'clock games, or I guess the 1 o'clock Eastern games. I still never know whether to call them the 1 o'clock or the 10 o'clock games. I lived on the East Coast for 22 years, and I've been on the West Coast for, you know, almost, well, I guess 7.5 years now. So I still haven't really made that transition, but, hey, we'll get there eventually, right? I'm going to go through the last one here, though, and then we got all the late afternoon games and both night games coming right at you. This will be a little bit of a short one tonight. I'm going to pound as much wine as I can during it, and then we'll get you guys on out of here. So starting with Carolina at Atlanta. Atlanta here is a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under is 47. I think the big news of the week, obviously, in Carolina was that they fired their head coach, Ron Rivera. You know, it seems like the ownership is like relatively new. So, it seems like no one is really in, you know, we talked about it a little bit on the recap, but it was a little weird to me that Ron Rivera was the coach that got axed this year, not because he's been particularly good, but just because it seemed like a lot of their issues have been outside of his hands. The defense has certainly been terrible and that's part of it. And we'll get into that, but starting on the Carolina side of the ball, Kyle Allen, despite not really playing well, has 2 straight top 10 fantasy finishes, and this is a pretty good matchup for him. You know, a couple weeks ago, we wondered if the Falcons were legit. I think it's safe to say that those 2 weeks were a bit of a blip on the radar. You know, I don't think they're as bad as they were for that stretch of the season where it was just like all you had to do was play people against the Falcons and you won. But I don't think they're a good defense. This is a good matchup for him. I think he's one of the, you know, the top streamers out there with guys like Fitzpatrick, Tannehill, Darnold, you know, within that realm of streamer category. In terms of his pass catchers, DJ Moore should be just fine. He's just eating targets and he's really good. So even with, you know, a below average quarterback, I think it's safe to say, and Kyle Allen, DJ Moore's been really, really great. He's had a second-year breakout, and he seems like a guy who's going to be a productive NFL receiver for a long time. Curtis Samuel got in the end zone this past week. You know, he would have gotten there for you just on yardage as well in terms of having, like, an okay fantasy day. But, you know, Samuel's been pretty touchdown reliant this year. That's the way that's going to stay this week. It's a good matchup. I think if you need to play Samuel, I don't think you should be, you know, pissed about it, because it is a good matchup. You know, if we're recommending streaming Kyle Allen, then we clearly like some of his ancillary pieces, and Samuel's a bit more than ancillary. So, yeah, I'm in on Curtis Samuel. And then the other pass catcher that we need to talk about here is Ian Thomas. Greg Olsen is not going to play this week, and Ian Thomas will, you know, step in there and replace him. This past week, you know, he got 44% of the snaps, got four targets, turned that into four catches for 24 yards. So not a crazy day or anything. But over the last 4 weeks of last season, when Greg Olsen was out, Ian Thomas got 27 targets, and he turned that into 20 catches for 200 yards and two touchdowns. A lot of twos in there. That's a little bit weird. But, you know, I think all of those things are pretty good. You know, if the expectation or the baseline here for Ian Thomas is going to be, five targets, 50 yards, five catches, 50 yards, and a half a touchdown expectation, like, that's pretty good. That's something you can do. So I'm a fan of streaming Ian Thomas this week. You know, he's a really, really good athlete. Last year, he was a rookie. We know that tight ends often make a leap in year two as they sort of get more comfortable with NFL offenses and NFL blocking and that sort of thing. So Ian Thomas, A-okay in my book. And then, of course, the guy that I haven't mentioned yet is Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey's going to eat. That's what he does. This is a really good matchup for him. You know, we really saw his floor last week. It felt like against Washington, we're in a good matchup. He just couldn't really get too much going. He still got a lot of targets, and the touchdowns just went elsewhere. That's going to happen sometimes. You know, Kyle Allen rushed one in last week. So I don't think you should expect anything less than what you normally do from Christian McCaffrey. And I'm hoping, you know, on a week after he sort of was down by his standards, that maybe his ownership will drop in daily tournaments, because that's where I will be looking to just pay up for him and use the hell out of him. Sorry, if you guys are regular listeners, you know the drill. When I'm on these solo ones, it's going to be a little bit silent when I'm drinking. So what can you do? All right, Atlanta side of the ball here, guys. The big news on their side is that Julio Jones and Austin Hooper both expected to play here. I don't think you need to go to Matt Ryan in this situation. I don't think it's necessary. The Falcons have given up a lot of pressure to the quarterback. Carolina has gotten a lot of pressure on the quarterback this year. I haven't done my specific defensive projections yet or my pressure rankings or anything like that I normally do. But this seems like a pretty good situation for the Carolina defense, despite them being not favored in this matchup. And it seems like a situation where you just don't need to play Matt Ryan. Now, that being said, you're definitely playing Julio now that he's back in your lineup, or back in their lineup, rather. He should also be in your lineup. So Julio, great play. And then I think the confounding person here is Calvin Ridley. So over the past 3 weeks, Calvin Ridley's eight targets, he has eaten targets. That doesn't mean he got eight targets. I realized how confusing that could be the second it came out of my mouth. But he's turned a bunch of targets into 319 yards and two touchdowns over the past 3 weeks. Now, I think a lot of that has been Julio's situation and Hooper not being on the field. But Ridley's shown that he really can produce when he gets the volume. I think the question is always, is he going to get that volume? He's just playing too good to bench right now. And we don't know if Julio and Hooper are fully healthy. We don't know if they're going to get their full roles. We don't know if they're going to be schemed for. So to me, I'd rather roll Ridley out there and risk it than, you know, bench him and have it fuck me. But it's hard. I'm definitely nervous there. I don't really own a ton of him. I don't think I actually own him at all in season long. So this isn't a decision I'm really having to make, but it is a tough decision to make, and I can certainly acknowledge that. Hooper's back. He's in your lineup. That's the way tight end works. Austin Hooper's good. He was like on pace for a tight end one season when he went down. So he's a guy that you're just immediately plugging back in because, I mean, I just said how I'm cool with starting Ian Thomas. Austin Hooper is clearly still the tight end to start in this matchup. So, you know, that's where that is. The other play in this offense is going to be Devontae Freeman. We just saw this Panthers defense get absolutely wrecked by the Washington Redskins. Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson both just taking them to the woodshed. You know, Devontae Freeman is only averaging 3 yards per carry this year. He's really, when he's been fantasy relevant, he's gotten by on getting a lot of receiving work. But, like, this run defense is so fucking bad right now. They were already bad We've talked about it. You know it. But they were already bad, and then they lost on Tari Poe, who was the third highest graded interior run defender on PFF, or in PFF, however you want to phrase that. There's just, you know, you have to go to Devontae. If you own him, you have to play him. This is not a situation where you sit Devontae Freeman. All right, that's going to do it for this game. I'm going to take Carolina to cover the spread and to win outright. On to the Los Angeles Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chargers here are a 3-point road favorite with an over-under of 43. This is another situation where just Jacksonville's defense is fucking bad right now. It's really, really bad. They've gotten killed in the run game. And this lines up to really be a great Melvin Gordon game. You know, he's gotten 20 or more carries in three of his past four games. And Jacksonville, like I said, just can't stop anything. So Melvin Gordon should really eat here. In terms of the pass game, I don't think you need to go to Phillip Rivers. It's viable, but Rivers hasn't looked good. I'd rather be starting a guy like Allen, like Tannehill, like Fitzpatrick, like Darnold. There are better matchups out there that you can go to. I don't think you need to get to Rivers. Austin Eckler has managed to stay relevant, even with Melvin Gordon getting the work that I just mentioned. He's done that through, you know, some efficiency, some work in the pass game, a couple touchdowns. His floor's low, and this is sort of just the every week thing for Eckler right now. The floor's low, but like, this is a bad defense. And just because I think Melvin Gordon is going to have a good game doesn't mean I think Austin Eckler can't have a good game. So yeah, I'm pretty in on Eckler. I think he's a fine start, you know, in the running back two flex territory. And if he's a guy that you've been relying on this year, you probably don't have better options this week unless you went and picked up like a Patrick Laird or something like that. So, yeah, Eckler's cool with me. Keenan Allen, obviously a play. You know, I know he's been super up and down this year, but the guy gets the volume. It's just been a matter of efficiency this year. And then Hunter Henry, also obviously a play. He only got three targets this past week. It was a very down week for him. But, like, you expect that to rebound. He doesn't, to my knowledge, have, like, injuries or issues that cause that. It seemed like he just really wasn't used as much last week for some reason. And I don't know why that was, you know, which kind of scares me. Normally, I like to be able to attribute causes or at least be able to retrofit some sort of narrative to a performance like that. But sometimes it's really just he wasn't in the game plan that week. That doesn't mean he won't be in the game plan this week. So, you know, against this bad defense, you're not sitting down Hunter Henry. I think the guy who you need to make a decision on is Mike Williams. He went off last week, but he still hasn't gotten more than seven targets in any game since week six. He's getting a lot of deep targets. So if he converts those, then great. That works out perfectly for him. I think, you know, converting those deep targets is the thing. Can he do it? Can he get by on six targets that are potentially downfield from Phillip Rivers, who's struggling to throw downfield a little bit right now? I don't know. He's a borderline play. I have him on a couple of teams where I've got like a lot of borderline plays. For perspective, I am playing Curtis Samuel over him in one league this week. I think that's a pretty obvious one on my end. I'm trying to think because I have to play another wide receiver over him that I like. Geez, why can't I think of it? Anyway, the point is, I think he's a decision. I think he's a borderline guy, and he's very dependent on the rest of your roster. On the Jaguars side of the ball, I am not terribly pumped on this matchup. The Chargers defense has been getting healthier over the past couple weeks, even though they've been bad for a lot of the year. They also just, they're a slow-paced team, so like you don't get a ton of play volume out of them. I'm not looking to stream Minshew this week. I've already mentioned the guys that I like to stream a couple times. You know, if you have to go deeper than that, sure, maybe consider Minshew, but it's really not a play that I'm looking to get. Fournette, you're just not sitting at this point. The guy, he gets the workload. It's him and Christian McCaffrey are the only guys getting the full complement of, I guess, workload that running backs can get, as in rush attempts between the 20s, rushing attempts in the red zone, and then, you know, over five targets a week. Like, those are the only two guys. Fournette's obviously not as good as McCaffrey, but, like, he's getting the work. he's matchup independent. You play him every week. For the wide receivers, DJ Chark, I think, is a definite play. And then Westbrook's kind of a maybe. Conley, I would like to keep on my bench, but he's, you know, a very boomer bust type play. All of these guys have low floors. That's the way the Jaguars receivers have worked this year. It's sort of just, that's the way that I would rank them. DJ Chark has definitely come back to earth after his, after he really torched the league for the first couple weeks of the season. But to me, I'm playing him in this matchup. I think it's good enough to do that. The Chargers tend to lose close games. I don't know why. That's just the way the world works. If you are a Chargers fan, I am sorry. I've got a couple friends who are Chargers fans. I'm not sorry for them, though, because it's really just funny to me when you know, that they have, like, this misery from it. Also, as a Mets, Knicks, and Raiders fan, it's hard for me to generate sympathy for other fan bases. But I'm going to choose the Jaguars here. Kansas City at New England. We've got New England a 3-point favorite. The over-under here is 49. Now, the Pats gave up a lot of points last week, and Deshaun Watson was even QB1 against them. That was surprising. You know, I think it wasn't necessarily surprising that the Texans won, but it was surprising just how easily the Texans moved the ball. That was on the road in a dome. This is in Foxborough, or in Foxborough in December. Those are two very different places, two very different environments. I don't think we're going to see the kind of points that we saw last week put up against the Patriots this week. That being said, it's hard to bench Mahomes unless you have a viable alternative. I don't even necessarily recommend benching Mahomes. I don't think I would bench him over any of the streamers that I've talked about. So just keep on rolling him. And I think his pass catchers, it's very easy there. And it's kind of been easy towards the past couple of weeks. It's Tyreek Hill and it's Travis Kelce. They're still elite plays and no one else is worth it because Sammy Watkins is bullshit. He's a fraud. DeMarcus Robinson is not a guy who's really targeted enough. And then Mecole Hardman with these three guys healthy is not getting the work. So to me, they're all stayaways except for Hill and Kelce. And then in the backfield, we've got Damian and Darrell Williams both out. So we're looking at a RBBC of LeSean McCoy, Darwin Thompson, and then the newly signed Spencer Ware. Now, if you had told me it was just going to be McCoy and Darwin Thompson, I would have said, cool. I think you can, you know, probably lean towards Thompson in a PPR league and maybe look towards McCoy in standard. Spencer Ware throws an element, and who knows if he's even going to play or if he's even going to be relevant, but he throws an element of uncertainty into this to the point where I'm just not interested in any of these guys. One of them will likely have a decent fantasy day, but like the ceiling, I don't think, or the realistic ceiling, I don't think is more than like 15 points or so. And the floor is like a point. So why take the risk on that sort of situation? When there are other plays, you know, Laird, I mentioned before, I forget who the other one that I talked about was. Oh, Eckler. I mean, those aren't like plays that you need to pick up, but like Laird would be. So like, I don't know. I just don't think you need to fuck with Kansas City's backfield right now. It's not the place to be. New England, I'm going to try and stop saying on the blank team side of the ball because every time I say it now, it's like it sets off like an alarm in my head, just like you say this phrase too much. But if I do it, I apologize, but like whatever. Anyway, New England, I'm not actively trying to start Brady here. The Kansas City pass defense has been pretty good. They're sixth in DVOA against the pass. The run defense is just absolute trash. So I'm not really going after Brady. And while this running back situation is very hard to parse, I mean, we just saw the James White ceiling game. He got 11 targets. He got in the end zone twice. The guy that I'm playing here is Sony Michel because he's the early down banger. They went to him early in the game last week. He was pretty effective, but then they just went down. So they turned to White. White did what he did. You know, unless Kansas City really goes up on New England like Houston did last week, which I don't expect in this matchup and in Foxborough, then I think Michelle's the guy here. That being said, I'm trying to stay away from all of them. I don't want, like, I'm not actively trying to play Sonya Michelle. I'm looking for excuses not to. But if you have to, he's the guy to play. Clearly, Julian Edelman is a guy that we can trust as an every week wide receiver for us. The question marks are behind him. Now, this past week, Jacoby Myers and Philip Dorsett ran as the second and third receivers, each getting around 70% of the snaps, compared to about 25% of the snaps for N'Keal Harry and Mohamed Sanu. Again, I mentioned that Kansas City's pass defense is good. Like, we shouldn't be actively targeting it. So in a situation where, yes, Jacoby Myers and Philip Dorsett were the second and third receivers last week, Sanu was coming back from injury. Like, he could easily get a bigger role that would downgrade one or both of these other receivers. Like, I just don't see a reason to go further than Edelman in the hierarchy of wide receivers on this team. If I had to choose, I would probably choose Dorsett. But, like, you shouldn't have to choose. Like, how deep of a fucking league are you in? At tight end, it's not worth starting anyone. Watson and Lacoste have sort of been, splitting snaps. And I think that's pretty much all we need to talk about with this team. I'm going to take Kansas City because fuck New England. All right, guys, on to a matchup that I do not want to watch at all. Hopefully it's not on Red Zone much. Or no, this will be a 4 o'clock game, right? I don't know. I got to plan out my viewing schedule. I might be primarily on the KC at New England game. But anyway, we're talking about Pittsburgh at Arizona. Pittsburgh is a 2.5-point favorite with an over-under of 43.5. Now, Arizona's been a sieve. They've been a bad defense. They play up at a higher pace than most other teams. We know the story on Arizona. So this is theoretically a good matchup for Pittsburgh. But look, they're a tough team to play people. Benny Snell is theoretically a good play, but he's also a guy with a floor, you know, that's as low as it can be. He can be scripted out of the game because they don't use him in the pass game. And they didn't use them despite the fact that he, like, got in the end zone early. He was only on 37% of the snaps last week. Like, they didn't use him when they got down, and they got down 10-0 early. So he can be scripted out very easily. If he does, you better hope he gets in the end zone early, because he's also not getting any of the passing down work. So Snell's a touchdown boomer bust type play, and a boom week for him is like fucking, you know, 15 points. Jalen Samuels was in a lot last week. He had the higher snap share. He only got 2 targets and 7 carries. Like, count me the fuck out. We've got Duck Hodges at quarterback, who's thrown the ball about 20 times a game. He's obviously doesn't have the ceiling, even in this good matchup, to really play him in fantasy. And then the starting receivers right now are James Washington and Deontay Johnson. I'm assuming that Juju is out, though we haven't had word for sure of that. So keep an eye on that. But James Washington has been very good over the past couple weeks. He's performed great. He's only gotten 9 targets with Duck Hodges in at quarterback. Deontay Johnson has actually gotten 11 with Duck Hodges in. But over the past 2 weeks, James Washington has an average depth of target of 21.1 yards. So motherfucker's getting targeted downfield, and he's making it work. That's a very difficult way to make a living in fantasy, is to get targeted 21 yards down the field on average. I'm pretty sure he caught all 4 of his 4 targets this past week. When your targets are that deep, that's unlikely to continue. Arizona's gotten beat deep a lot this year, so I think it can this week. I wouldn't be surprised if James Washington has a very good week, and I might try to galaxy brain sort of daily fantasy play him, as well as Deontay Johnson, honestly, in some daily lineups this week. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work or what their prices are, but you do not need to go to James Washington. You don't need to. You can. You don't need to. Again, downfield targets from Duck Hodges. Duck Hodges is at least willing to throw downfield, which Mason Rudolph was not. So I don't know. We'll see. The other guy that people are going to talk about is Vance McDonald. And I had to take a drink before going further with that because it's gross. I mean, the Cardinals seem to actively avoid covering tight ends in the red zone, but Vance McDonald has 4 targets over the past 2 weeks. I know he had 7 per week for the 3 weeks before that. I know that because I used that to rationalize playing him in that 4th week where he only got 3 targets. And then this past week, he only had 1. Yeah, I'm not doing it. I know the flow chart says to go to tight ends against Arizona. I'm not doing it. I'm not putting in Vance McDonald this week. I'm not playing him. I will not be doing it. Ian Thomas is the better play. The Cardinals really don't have anyone that I want to play, and I'll explain why. Kyler's in a bad matchup. This Pittsburgh defense is good. I know they're at home. I know he, you know, should theoretically be more healthy than last week when he came into the week with a hamstring injury. I haven't heard any updates on that yet. But it's not worth going to him, you know, against Pittsburgh. At running back, Kenyon Drake is the best running back choice. He had 79% of the snaps last week. And he only really ceded work in garbage time of that game to David Johnson. But it's a bad matchup. And with David Johnson and Chase Edmonds theoretically getting healthier every week, like, I don't trust single week performances or single week workloads from Kenyon Drake to indicate the rest of the year. It was also a game where, again, they just got rocked. Like, that was it. So I don't know, man. It doesn't I'm going to pull a Don here, but my gut says that Kenyon Drake is not a very safe play. At wide receiver, we have Christian Kirk. You know, he would clearly be the best play, but I don't think you really need to go there this week. It seems like an unnecessary risk against a good defense where I don't expect Arizona to perform well. So, you know, Kirk's been very up and down this year. This is not the week for him for me, and I think we've graduated from playing the rest of the Cardinals receivers at this point. All right, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with the last 3 games of the week.
Have you thought about trying sports betting but aren't sure how it'll go? Our friends at FanDuel are giving away a $50 sign-up bonus at letstalkfantasyfootball.com/FanDuel-sportsbook.
Welcome back, my friends. We're going to go right into the Tennessee Titans at the Oakland Raiders. I hate talking about the Raiders, man. I fucking hate it. I love the Raiders with all my heart. And I don't know. It's just been a very, very disappointing last 2 weeks. And I hate them for giving me hope. I might have said this already, but like, it's just they're like, just be bad. Be a bad team instead of having the indications of a bad team, but pulling out miracle wins, like a really bad point differential, but pulling out like close miracle wins and then just getting brutally exposed over the next 2 weeks. Anyway, I'm on a tangent. Tennessee is a 3-point favorite. I don't remember if I said this. The over-under is 47.5. Ryan Tannehill has been a great fantasy quarterback recently, and he is in the conversation for streamers. I think a lot of people have him as the top streamer this week. I do not. I would really advise going to Fitzpatrick, Allen, or I think even Darnold over Tannehill. And the reason is just his volume. He's only had 61 total pass attempts over the past 3 weeks. For those of you that majored in math, that is 20.333333333, etc. attempts per week. He's been buoyed by 6 passing touchdowns over that span, as well as some rushing yardage and a rushing touchdown 1 week. So Tannehill to me, like, he's been good. He's been efficient. He's been getting in the end zone. Like, Ryan Tannehill at no point in his career has been a 2-touchdown-a-week type quarterback. So until we get him in some shootouts, until we get him some volume – for me, it's just a stay away. Regression is real. It might not hit every week, but like over the long run, this is not going to be a profitable play for you. And I think that goes for the rest of the passing game as well. No one on the team had more than four targets last week. There's blow up potential for guys. And I think the clear best play is AJ Brown, who has been towards the top, if not the top, in target share over the past couple weeks. And is a guy that has, you know, that blow up, that big play potential. So Brown is a guy that I would consider, but I would not actively be trying to play. I would be trying to play people over him if I can. But he is the number one wide receiver in this game to play. So there's that, I guess. No one else to me in the pass game is a target. I mean, the guy that you need to be playing and need to be starting is Derrick Henry. He's going to fucking tear the Raiders apart. You know, early in the season, the Raiders, their pass defense was terrible and their run defense was okay. And their run defense has really regressed. It's not good right now. Derrick Henry's going to go nuts. That's what he does in December. And I think they've figured it out here. They've found the formula. And it's slowing the game down, giving it to Derrick Henry. Tannehill throws the ball 20 times a game. Defense is pretty decent. You get a win. I think they're going to do it again this week. Raiders offense, not something I'm really trying to target. Absolutely not on Derek Carr. Just not the right play here. His pass catchers, I think the only one that I'm interested in is Darren Waller. You know, since Hunter Renfrow got hurt, which, you know, was just this past week, so obviously small sample size. But Waller and Renfrow, I guess, occupied sort of targets in the same general area or in the same part of the game plan. Over the past 4 weeks, Waller has 27 targets. To me, he's just the only good start on this Raiders offense. So, you know, keep that in mind, I guess. Also, that the Titans have allowed the sixth most fantasy points to tight ends this season. Pretty solid there. I think Tyrell Williams is a dart throw. He might hit. He hasn't hit for a while. I'm avoiding it. At running back, Josh Jacobs has been playing with a fractured shoulder since week 7. So kudos to him. Love you, Josh. Got your jersey. You're very, very good. He's also going to be missing his starting right tackle, Trent Brown, this week. Trent Brown's really fucking good. That's a huge loss. And also, the Titans have the fourth best run DVOA. Now, you don't expect this game to be a blowout like the past couple of games where Jacobs just absolutely got game scripted out. But, like, this is not an ideal matchup. And it's – I know Josh Jacobs is good, but he's only gotten one target over the past 2 weeks. He's playing somewhere from 40 to 65% of the snaps each week. Like, I'm not saying I'm benching Josh Jacobs, but if I have good plays around him or good plays on the team that aren't him, like, I would consider it. Because without a touchdown, I don't think he really gets there for you this week. The passing work isn't there. Don't think he gets over 100 yards against this good defense in a game where the pace is going to be slowed down. Yeah. You know, I find it hard to evaluate the Raiders in the correct manner because I have so many emotions going on about the Raiders. But to me, not the correct week for Josh Jacobs. And though you probably can't if you own him, I would try to look elsewhere. I am picking the Titans here. Moving on to the Sunday night game, we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams. This game is a pick'em with an over-under of 47. Starting with the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, you know, clearly a guy that you can play. The Rams' pass defense, you know, hasn't been anything special this year. I'm a little bit worried about the pressure, but like Russell Wilson can perform. He's one of the quarterbacks where you see the pressure rate against him and you're like, oh fuck, like you should play defenses against him or whatever. And you just shouldn't. It's like him and Deshaun Watson are the two guys where it really doesn't matter that much because they can create so much outside of the pocket. They can extend plays. So yeah, Russell Wilson clearly in play here. I think the interesting thing is that as of this past week, we have an official timeshare in the backfield. Chris Carson this past week, 52% of the snaps. Rashad Penny, 47%. Now, Carson got the edge in the rushing work, getting 23 carries. compared to Penny's 15. And they even salted the game with Carson, which I was a little bit surprised at due to his fumbling issues. But they have shown so much trust in this guy, which is honestly refreshing because NFL teams, and particularly like hard-nosed NFL coaches, are so quick when a guy fumbles to just immediately lose confidence in him. And they haven't done that with Carson. So I kudos to Pete Carroll on that. You won't hear me say that often. Rashad Penny, though, is getting the edge in the pass work. 5 targets this past week compared to 2 for Carson. And then each of them over the past 2 weeks have 5 red zone carries. So the red zone work is pretty much being split. I think the touchdown equity is pretty even for both of them. So which one is the better play, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. I think Penny is actually the better play in this matchup. The Rams have been stingy against the run, but are 22nd in pass DVOA to running backs. So for me, I'm on Penny this week. I think he's a good play. I think you should be rolling him out there with relative confidence. And I don't think Carson is a bad play. I don't think he's a sit. Because, you know, either of these guys could fall in the end zone really at any time. But to me, Penny is the slightly better play out of the two. Now, with these pass catchers, we just saw a dud of a game from Tyler Lockett. He apparently had the flu, only got 3 targets. He's going to play, but he should have Jalen Ramsey following him around the field. So Lockett, to me, is not a guy I'm actively trying to play if I have other options. The guy that I am really trying to play is DK Metcalf. 32 targets over the past 4 weeks. I feel like people aren't really thinking about him that much because he hasn't really performed since that breakout week with 120 yards and a touchdown. I think that was 4 weeks ago. But yeah, I'm in on DK this week. I think he's a guy that I will be playing on DK on DraftKings. But yeah, I think it's a sneaky good play. I'm a big fan of it. I think he's got a lot of blow up potential in this matchup. The other guy here is Jacob Hollister, who got 8 targets last week. He led the team with those 8 targets, and Russ clearly trusts him. He continues to be a good play. You know, if he's still available in your league by hook or by crook, then you should pick him up and play him. David Moore caught a long touchdown last week. You might be tempted to play him. I wouldn't. 13% snap share for him. That was 5th among wide receivers. He was behind Josh Gordon and Malik Turner. Malik Turner caught the long touchdown the week before. You're throwing darts with any of those guys. For the Rams, we saw a huge rebound week for them this past week. I'm not really going back to Goff. I don't think you need to. You know, there are other options out there. I don't think it's the worst play. Like, if you just picked him up and you just want to kind of roll through for the week, like, not a bad matchup. The Seahawks defense is nothing to write home about. They're pretty much the definition of average. You know, with a 47 over under and a pick 'em, it's 23.5 is nothing to sneeze at in terms of a projected point total. I just wouldn't really necessarily be trying to play Goff. I would be trying to play Gurley. He hasn't gotten a lot of usage in the past game, but he has 38 red zone carries relative to 14 for Malcolm Brown over this season. So I think there's been a narrative that Malcolm Brown is a red zone vulture. I think that's overblown. And if, you know, you want 2 out of the 3, you want carries between the 20s, red zone carries or goal line carries, passing work. You want at least 2 out of the 3. With Gurley, I think you got 2 out of the 3. So for me, that works. Robert Woods is a must play at this point. The motherfucker had 11 and then 9 and then 19 targets over the past 3 weeks. I don't know what changed or what happened in this offense, but Robert Woods is clearly the focal point right now in the pass game, and he needs to be played. Cooper Kupp, despite a massive downturn in his targets, found the end zone last week. We know that Goff trusts him. He gets a lot of red zone targets. So Kupp is also a guy that you should still be playing. And then the Seahawks have given up the 4th most fantasy points to tight end this year. So even though Tyler Higbee was, you know, potentially a product of the Arizona defense last week, we're not going to have Gerald Everett back this week still. So Higbee remains a viable option at tight end, and I would be playing him over Vance McDonald. I'm going to take Seattle in this one. Russ is good. I think Russ wins it in a close one. All right. Last game of the week, Monday night. We got that classic MNE. That's right. It's the Monday night Eli. Because Eli Manning rides again. We thought he was done. We thought he was potentially done forever. But he's back. Daniel Jones not expected to play with an injury. I believe it was described as a mild high ankle sprain, which is bizarre to me. Because to me, a high ankle sprain is an injury that is not good. He was seen in a walking boot this week. For our purposes, we are going to assume that Eli Manning will start this game for the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. Philly is a 9.5-point favorite with an over-under of 46. So Eli getting no respect, as Rodney Dangerfield would say. That's something that happens in fantasy podcasts, right? Rodney Dangerfield references in 2019. Be fucking culturally relevant. I'm going to start, evoking Charlie Chaplin lines next or whatever. He didn't have any lines. He was a silent movie guy. How about that? All right. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with any of that. The point is, Eli's back. That sucks for our fantasy purposes for the Giants. You know, Saquon Barkley is a guy that you're not benching, but like it's a bad matchup and he hasn't been good. He clearly isn't over his injury. I think that what you're hoping for here is just garbage time checkdowns. Like give me like a solid, like, you know, the Giants are down like fucking 21 points in the fourth. And on the last two drives, I get like six catches for 40 yards out of Saquon. Like, give me that. That's what I want. I think that's the easiest path to success for Saquon in this matchup and with Eli at quarterback. So, yeah, not really a fan there. I didn't say it, but obviously, Eli, you're not starting. Golden Tate is expected to play. He is out of the concussion protocol. I'm not excited about that because I think it spreads the targets a little bit more. Like, I would have maybe been in on Shepard or Slayton. Slayton quietly continues to be the most productive wide receiver on this team. So I think if anyone, he should be the guy that you're playing, but you know, Tate's there. I guess you can play him. I'm not actively trying to. And then the last guy is Caden Smith at tight end. He has 14 targets over the past 2 weeks. Again, that's good for a tight end. I just have trouble recommending him with Eli at quarterback and in a bad matchup and all the wide receivers healthy. Like none of it appeals to me. So I am clearly not on the Giants here. Philly, though, I am very much on. Carson Wentz played really well against Miami. I know they lost the game. I don't think it was his fault, but I think you can play him against New York. The Giants aren't a good team. In terms of his pass catchers, Aguilar right now is not practicing. So we'll see if he plays. I'm mildly worried that that'll have a negative effect on him because on Wentz rather, on the offense as a whole, because he is really the only guy that can go deep here. But you know, if you're looking at Aguilar, I think it's pretty safe to play Ertz, Goddard, and Alshon with him out. So I'm on all three of those guys. Alshon obviously had the 16 target game just last week. That was pretty crazy. Okay, the last guy that we need to talk about here is Miles Sanders. He's been getting the bell cow treatment with Jordan Howard out, and Jordan Howard still has not been cleared for contact as of December 5th. So, Sanders is an elite play here. He's getting the majority of the rushing attempts as well as the majority of the work in the passing game. We know he's a good pass catcher. Miles Sanders, to me, is a must play. You cannot sit him. I am not worried about, Jay Ajayi, Boston Scott taking work in this case, unlike the Kenyon Drake, David Johnson, Chase Edmonds situation. And the reason for that is we've now had 2 weeks of sort of all these guys, no changes in health, and it's been just Sanders. So that's enough for me. I'm in on Sanders. I think it's a great play. I'm taking Philly in this one, guys, believe it or not. And believe it or not, that brings us to a close here. That was the Monday night game. So Hope you guys got some good information with from that. Please hit us up if you do have questions through whatever venue, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the website, whatever you guys want to do. You know, please hit us up there. And I mean, I think that'll do it for me. You know, good luck if you're in the first round of your playoffs. I am weirdly, I'm in six leagues, you know, just regular season long leagues. I have a bye in the first round of the playoffs in four of them. In one of them, where I'm going to make the playoffs, the playoffs don't start until week 15. And then in the other one, I missed the playoffs because I started Nick Foles. So there you go. I'm in like a weird situation where I have a regular season game that doesn't really matter that much. Like, I'm going to make the playoffs either way. I have four byes and then I'm in the consolation bracket. So this is like a strange week in terms of where I need to care. And, you know, not that I'm not putting in full effort everywhere. I'm still, you know, doing everything I need to, but yeah, weird week. But anyway, good luck. If you guys are in the playoffs, let us know what playoff questions you have, or if you're trying to clinch playoffs, whatever the case may be. Yeah, best of luck, everyone. For Let's Talk Fantasy Football, my name is Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.